Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. That's a hard word to say, Sosthenes, our brother. So this letter coming from Paul, but also contributed by a dear friend. We don't see too much about this guy. He's in Acts, and he was getting beat up in Acts because he stood up for Paul. Paul opening up this letter, as he does usually, addressing who he's talking to, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Very simple, addressing the church at Corinth. But two words kind of repeated here. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That sanctified and that word saints are very closely related. They both relate to the word hagios, which is holy. To them that are sanctified, that is to be holy, and then those to be called to be saints, that's the word holy again. Our holiness, our rightness, our perfection is only in one place. It can only be found in one place. It's not through the effort of man. It's not through the struggle of the flesh. Not at all. It's in Christ Jesus. It's a provision that we walk into. If we've been to a wedding ceremony before, the reception in particular, all the preparations that have gone before, months before, have gone into that, even down to the detail of the little trinkets that are on the table and the cloth that covers the table, all those things, the efforts that went into that. And the guests that come in just come into a work that's already done. They enjoy and they take pleasure in it. They eat of it. And that's what we're called to do. We enter into that place, that provision of God, called Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the body that was given to us, the blood that was shed for us. That's the provision of God. Paul doesn't miss his introduction, a very important part of entering in any kind of conversation or event or new chapter in your life. It's going to be entered in through grace and peace. Otherwise, don't enter into it. Don't engage it. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no accident that he exits his letters through peace and then grace. So you could kind of think of it as concentric circles, that circles that are inside circles. So you enter in to that, this letter, this communication, this event, this day that's before us, you enter in by grace. That's the provision of Christ. That's the thing that's prepared for us. He's prepared for us works to walk in. Wonderful things that we would walk in them. He's already prepared that for us. It's not something, you know what, this is what I'm going to do and that's what I'm going to do. Could you imagine walking into a wedding reception and rearranging everything? You would get, the bridezilla thing would come out, I'm sure. You would be attacked. You know, stop. This thing has been prepared for months. So the work of Christ is not to be played with. It's not to be altered. It's not to be tainted. We're simply to receive it, be empowered by it, and get dancing. You know, enjoy the abundant life. It's a fullness of joy. Not everyone is enjoying that, entering into that fullness of joy, in particular this moment. Thank you, Asher. Praise God. So we enter in to the provision of God. Behold, a body was prepared for me. The psalmist writes, in prophecy, speaking as Christ, that body is for us to partake in, the provision of God. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything, everything, you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That connects us back to our teaching in Galatians, that there's a waiting and there's a walking. Maddie demonstrated that with me. Remember the rescue handshake? Jesus has a grip on us. It's a wrist grip. That's how you pull someone up the cliff. You don't grab right here. You don't do this. You know, you get a hold of them solid. You're not depending on their grip back to you. You know, they could pass out or whatever, or maybe they're injured. You got a good hold of them right there. So that's Christ in our life. He's got that rescue grip on us. We're waiting. We're in a waiting state, being brought to the shores of heaven in the grip of Christ. He's apprehended us by this grace. That grace, that love of God has got a hold of us. Man, it's got such a strong, deep, rich grip in our life. And Paul said, now I want to grab a hold of that which has grabbed a hold of me. So the return grip starts. And that's our walk. That's our Christian walk. Sometimes we let go. We call that backsliding. You got names for it and all this stuff. But he's right there. It's just a simply grabbing back on of what has apprehended us, what's grabbed a hold of us. Paul talks about that in Colossians. That I might apprehend that which has grabbed a hold of me. So there it is, our connection back to our last teaching. That we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got us in his grip. During that time is our walk. And in that walk, we need to have and experience the power of God. Walk in fellowship with God. He's got gifts for us. You can think of it as a firework. You hear the launch come out of that cannon down below in the pit where they're launching the fireworks. You know this is going to be a good one. The death of Christ. Man, that was quite a passionate event. Quite an amazing thing that happened that Passion Week. That was just the launch. The boof down below on the earth. When he rose, he was raised from the dead. Up, be seated at the right hand of the Father. Then the spectacular comes down. It talks about this in Ephesians 4, that he gave gifts unto men. He was risen, and then he gave gifts unto men, and talks about those different gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to edify this church body with. That's why we're in the epistles recently. I really believe that God is doing a new work now. It's the year of Jubilee, our seventh year, and it's a time for refreshment. It's a time for rebuilding. He's got gifts for you and me. He doesn't want us to lack in them. He doesn't want us to, oh, you know, I don't deserve or play that false humility thing. He wants us to embrace these things that he's worked for. Again, going back to that wedding reception, can you imagine now sitting there? You're not rearranging anything, all right? I'm not touching anything, but I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to partake. How could you sit there and not partake in what the Lord has prepared for you, this gift that he has? Well, I have to. Are you serious? You don't have to do anything. Eat the meal that's been set in front of you, that God has prepared for you. He's got gifts for you. It hasn't entered into the mind. Eat the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's as far as I'm getting in Corinthians today. I wanted to go to Psalm 23. That was on my heart this morning. Probably because of the passing of a dear friend and brother in the Lord. But I believe it's where God would have us to be this morning. Psalm 23. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to participate in this psalm. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. This isn't meant to be a one-sided thing. You don't have to be here 10 years to be able to contribute. You can just walk in today. It's the body of Christ. We need to be interacting. We need to be edifying each other, encouraging each other in the Lord Jesus. It isn't about lifting up a church name or a pastor or something that is some type of show. It's the living, breathing body of Christ. We're living stones that are built together. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. We could take that individually. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a statement of faith. It's a proclamation, but it's also a time of review. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. It's also a future-looking kind of thing. It's looking forward to the day that's in front of me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's not going to be what leads me today. The desires, the fleshly things of my life, it's not going to be a pursuit of getting my belly filled today and all these things that drive us. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to start out looking forward in that proclamation of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the immediate. We can look back on our life and we could say, yeah. But it's a statement of faith. These are words of faith. What's faith? That's faith right there. It's standing on the word of God. You are my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You're talking about a shepherd and sheep now. The provision and the green pasture and the water. The food and the water. We need those things, of course. That's obvious, and we don't need to teach that. We'll get hungry in another hour or two. Maybe some of us are already hungry. But the greater truth here is truth itself, is our very food. Truth that reveals the word of God in the will of God. That's the provision of a child of God, is the word of God revealing the will of God. We're going to talk about the food of the believer here, the grass and the water. Then he's going to talk about the way of righteousness. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? The truth and the way. He's going to talk about life at the end of this psalm. It's only six verses. Psalm 23. The way, truth, and life. And a shepherd. Way back in Psalms, David writing this. He's writing about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua to come. We all have in our minds an idea of what that green pasture is. Anybody have any thoughts? What comes to mind when you hear about this, the still water and the green pasture here? The literal picture of it? A peaceful place? Rest? I have a tree and I have two different trees I like in particular to rest under, and that's the green pasture for me in the still waters. Having a cold kombucha under my pine tree or my maple tree, or just putting a sleeping bag out and listening to a teaching word of God. So those are the thoughts that come. And when I'm getting my teeth drilled at the dentist, I like to go back to that pine tree in my mind. Any other thoughts about that? How about this question for you today? When Jesus was walking on the water before he calmed the storm, was he like, when he was walking on that water, was he going with the water, like bobbing up and down? Like, here comes Jesus, and he's like, because he's walking on the surface, and the surface is all over the place. This is opinion kind of thing, so you think it was kind of like he was steady walking, and the water just kind of was steady around him. How have you visioned that before when you've heard this?
That's how I always saw it. Walking up steady water.
Steady water, so it was steady just right there where he was.
Where he was, as he felt it was kind of peaceful.
Did anybody think of it as like he was bobbing up and down? Nobody went there with that one? But he was on the water and the water was going up and down, then someone might say, well, literally. But I don't think any of us have ever visioned that when we think about him walking on that water and bidding Peter to come out of the boat. Actually, Peter asked him, Lord, bid me to come out of the boat. You tell me to come out of the boat. Really cool story.
Yeah, remember the when Peter stepped out in faith, and he walked on the same plane that Jesus walked.
Yeah.
He told him, he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the way around. He did the same.
No. So there might be a little more to this psalm and the leading of our Lord Jesus in our life than having tranquility of a pine tree and a cold drink under that tree and having a peaceful breeze blowing. It could be a storm all around us. Uncertainty all around us. Things that defy nature need to take place. Miracles are called for. So that's the substance, the truth right there. In any situation, I see this leading provision of the shepherd to the sheep is something that brings stability in our life. The truth is that center, that belt around us, it's called the belt of truth in Ephesians 6. It brings us into a place of stability and quietness. So no matter where we are, we can experience that tranquility and peace of God in the provision of God. Notice it says he makes me lay down in green pastures. Any thoughts on that? Why wouldn't the sheep just go ahead and lay down? Why does the shepherd have to make the sheep lay down? He makes me lay down in green pasture under the direction of the shepherd.
Like our lives, we go, go, go. Miss out on his peace and his direction, his talking to us, that listening, we're missing out. He's got to force us to calm down, sit in the green pasture, running our lives in distress, so he'll just speak to us, comfort us, give us the peace.
Yeah.
He makes us do that.
The idea here is that we've eaten, right? I mean, we were in green pastures, the eating, the grazing has taken place. We like our dishes to pass. We're going to have one this afternoon. Call it the amazing graze. You know, that's good. And God wants that. He wants food in his house. He wants us to fellowship. That's part of fellowship. So the idea here is that the eating has taken place. It's the resting. As Maddie was saying, as Dick was saying about, okay, well, there's more over there. Your belly's full. It's like, well, there's more over there. I haven't got that yet. I haven't cleaned all the fields yet. So yeah, there's that idea. It's like it goes against our nature there. And we definitely see that in the scripture. One of the commandments, the do commandments, is to rest. Take the Sabbath. It's holy. It's set apart. It's sanctified. Just to rest. And for God to get his people to rest one day out of the week. Hundreds of years of struggle just to observe that one thing. Their captivity was based on that in Babylon because they would not rest. They wouldn't lay down in the green pasture. In that laying down, a sheep will chew the cud. What they've eaten will come back up and they'll start to process and digest what they've consumed. And I think this is where we lose out as believers. Is that we do the quick drive-through Christian, we get the bang kind of thing happen. We hear something powerful, something strong. The processing of that, the meditating of that, the tree planted by the water, meditating on the Word of God and chewing the cud, those are synonymous. They work together, the idea there. That's a laying down type of action and a resting, thinking about these things and processing them. He makes me lay down. Now the fodder comes back up and we're digesting. We're growing in God. Mary and Martha, you're busy about so many things, Jesus said. I don't know how he emphasized which word, but so many things, Martha, are troubling you. She's the sheep, as Dick was talking about, Maddie talking about. That's not done over there. That's not done over there. Don't rush. Get up. Everybody's like, ha ha ha. Martha. Lay down. Like Mary is. She's chosen the better part. She's laying down in green pasture. Now she's digesting. She's growing in God. She's assimilating the Word of God. It's just not a quick sugar buzz pass through. She's growing strong, her bones are being strengthened. So truth. The Word of God, the fodder of the sheep, all of us, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to go line by line, book by book. And then we need to digest it and process it. Work it. Work the Word. Allow it to work. Chew it over and over. The next verse talks about the way. The shepherd being the way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and he's the life. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not just resting. It's not just about still waters. It's not about capturing peace in the moment and being fed. Now the walking. The walking with the shepherd. The leading. He leads me on paths. These are narrow paths. Matthew 7 talks about it as being a narrow path, but also translated as being a hard path. Not hard because of God wants us to have a difficult, hard life, and this is what he has given us. No, he's given us an easy yoke. His yoke is easy. What makes it difficult is the world around us that comes against those that follow God. It comes against the name of Jesus. It comes against God and everything that is exalted in his name. That's what makes it hard. It is a narrow path. It is a hard path. He leads us on those paths, though. That's the good news. We're not set as a sheep, like, pointed in a direction and, hey, I hope it goes well for you. He's leading us. He's leading us. And the next verse talks about that. Yea, though I walk through what? The worst. The valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We talk about a relationship with God. There it is right there in the heart of Psalm 23. Thou art with me. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Thou art with me. I stand on that. I believe in that. Not because I deserve it, not because I did good yesterday, but because who he's declared me to be on the cross, the provision that he's prepared for me to walk in and to receive. He said, Paul, you have the right to be a son now. Just as I am? Yes, because of what I've done. Thou art with me. His rod, his staff, the implements of the shepherd, they comfort me. God's hand in my life is touching my life and working in me. Even his discipline and correction are comfort, because it's the comfort of love. Every loving parent disciplines their child, it says in Scripture. We could find comfort even in the discipline. His rod and his staff. We talked about the green pasture and the still waters, and we all have kind of visions of what that is. But you can imagine a table that is prepared for you right in the presence of your enemy. And that's where he wants you to lay down. That's where he wants you to rest. And your soul to be refreshed and restored. Right there. He makes me lay down in green pasture. He leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. Now he's leading through the valley of the shadow of death, and leading to a place where he's prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to eat right here, God? No, you want me to be back under the pine tree, don't you? I'll get agita here. In the presence of my enemies, you're going to feed me? Water, honey is going to come from this rock? Is that what you're telling me, God? You want me to trust you? Right in the presence of my enemies? I want to run. I want to get all the toxic people out of my life. And you want to put a table right in the presence of my enemy. You're serious, aren't you, God? Yeah, he is. He's going to feed you. Not just get you through. He's going to feed you in that place of difficulty, in that place of uncomfort. He's going to bring you and train you and teach you how to have peace in such a situation, that the fruit of the Spirit is ripe and real in every situation, not just because it's environmentally produced and it's like, wow, I feel the peace of God around me because it's the environment around me doing that. No, it could be the worst storm, the enemy, the table right there. He's going to teach you, instruct you how to partake of the fruit of the Spirit, but not only partake of it, but to give it to that enemy, to love your enemy. Cool stuff. Really awesome following the Lord. It's not on your shoulders. It's him. He's leading us. He's prepared that table. He makes us lay down. It's for his name's sake, not our name. It is an abundant life. He wants our joy to be complete. The shepherd anoints our head with oil. Behold, our cup runs over. It's not a panhandling and maybe I'll get a drop like we were going through the drought this summer. Just one drop cloud. Don't pass by. Come on. How many clouds did I see go by the hill? Why? There's a lake up there. Drop, just one drop. He's not called us to drought in our relationship with him, but one that is a living water that just flows. A torrent, he describes it. He stands up in the middle of a feast and says, whoever is thirsty, these people had stuffed themselves to the gill. This is the end of the feast. And he stands up and says, whoever is thirsty, come here. I will give you drink. He's not talking about physical things. He's talking about what we really need as creatures. Creatures fashioned after the image of God. We need to get in fellowship with God. To have that inflow and outflow of His Spirit. He anoints my head with oil. Just recently learned this year what that really meant in the practical. That a shepherd, when taking care of a sheep, puts oil on the head for two different reasons. One is because they butt heads, and it helps the head butting to go a little smoother. Glancing blows. Another one is parasite. The oil helps with the parasite. Heals, keeps the flies off them, that kind of stuff. He anoints our head with oil. We need that. Our cup runs over. He wants our joy to be full, overflowing, a torrent of living water. That's what He's called you to. Going back to Corinthians, He's called us to be holy, to be holy, to be saints. Psalm 23 is helping us understand what that looks like, what that means. It means following a shepherd that's taking care of us every step of the way. That's leading us, making us lay down, feeding us, correcting us, prepared a table for us, even places that we don't want to be. Teaching us in those moments how to bear fruit, how to eat of His fruit. No mistake that the end of this last verse, verse 6, connects with the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he ends here, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You've got a leading going on of Jesus Christ in your life. You've got the shepherd leading you. Guess what's following you? He's got your back too. Goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. Our relationship isn't just about going to heaven. Isn't about fire insurance. Isn't about eternity. That isn't the sum of all of it. He wants us to have abundant life now. There's a reason why you're here, scratching on this earth. Goodness and mercy are following you. He's leading you. He's got your backside as well. With goodness and mercy. What shapes everything is that last bit of that verse 6. That last half of verse. That shapes everything. It's the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. That shapes everything. It gives perspective to everything. Eternity is important because it brings shape and meaning to everything. Even the loss of a friend, a brother, a family member. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an awesome God we serve. Mm-hmm. There's nothing less that He wants you to understand or believe or stand on. Lay down in this. Rest in this. Chew it over and over. Let's do a couple songs and just break your heart open for God. Then if you have something to share, we'll do that.